Get into our second part of our message on the Christian mindset of initiative. And the second part, as you remember, was the topic of integrity. The topic of integrity. Now, we look at that word initiative, and it means the ability to assess and initiate things independently, to use your initiative, imaginations, and common sense. And we spoke last week on some synonyms, if you will, and some of those words were motivation. They were spirit and verve and dash. And a few of my favorite words were that of drive, energy, and leadership. I don't think that you can have leadership in this world today without having initiative. Amen. Without having initiative in your life. The second definition of initiative we found to be the power or opportunity to act or take charge and before others do. And Henry Ford was an innovator. He was someone who took the initiative, but he didn't wait around for someone else to invent the car or put the assembly line in. He went ahead and did it himself. And again, I mentioned one of his quotes that if he would have asked the people what they wanted, they would have said, "Give us a better horse." But he had initiative. And again, we looked at a couple weeks ago as our mindset of initiative of getting involved in people's lives. I believe we should take the initiative to get involved in the lives of others. I'm not saying nose into their business. I'm not saying be a busybody. That's not what I'm implying whatsoever. But I am saying there's people out there that need help. They need an ear. They need to hear from you. And guys, if you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, if you're sitting here this morning or listening somewhere else, saved and born again of the blood of Christ, you have the greatest gift that mankind has ever received. Now, from the time that we reach teenage years until the wee moments of our life, we are tempted and we're moved around to find other things to take importance in our days. It's human nature in a great way. And we find that our drive is moved into the direction of other things, be it career or family or sports or athletics or education or anything like that. And I'm not saying those are bad things. I believe we should have initiative in all of those things. We should have a drive to be successful in everything that we do. But as the dawn begins to set on the world beyond, or begins to rise on the world beyond, as our life in this world, the sun begins to set, one would say, and our shadow begins to grow long. What's going to really matter to us then is what we've done with that greatest gift. Now, how I can translate that into the mind of a young person today, to be honest with you, is beyond me. I really believe that that has to be the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't think that I possess the acuity, if you will, to be able to convey the importance of understanding the better part of life. I think the Holy Spirit has to do that in people's lives. And we've been given instruction in our days. We've been told what to do. When we look at this Christian mindset of initiative, we are looking now on the topic of integrity. Beloved, I believe integrity is one of the lost items of our day. I'm not trying to be facetious in any way, shape, form, or fashion, but I am beginning to say that I think we live in a world where integrity is not as present as it should be. We looked last week at the word integrity. It's defined as the quality of being honest. That's a simple statement, I think it is. The quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. You say, "Preacher, can someone not know the Lord Jesus Christ and possess these qualities of strong moral principles?" There's a possibility they can, yeah. There are those in this world today that try to live a moral life. They try to develop a moral compass. But beloved, may I submit this thought to you today? A moral compass without a biblical outline is but nothing. We don't have a moral compass in this world without the teaching and preaching of the Scriptures. You say, "But can't people just be good?" The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And that means good enough to go to heaven, amen. Good enough to be saved. You can't save yourself. So yeah, the trial, the temptation It's for people to try to live the best life they can. And I personally have known people that are very good people, very honest people. They possess moral principles, and yet they know not the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, when the rubber meets the road and they're put in the corner of self-preservation or sacrifice, when someone has not the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them, matter of fact, it's hard enough when you do, they will always choose self-preservation over sacrifice. And my friend, that's called integrity. When you're willing to choose sacrifice over what may be more beneficial for you, that's integrity. The Bible tells us to let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Paul said unto the Thessalonians, he said that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. I believe I have the second definition of integrity up there. I do. It's down below. It's probably hard to see. But it says the state of being whole or undivided. We spoke about this last week, that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, not just a few ways. I've said this before. Guys, if you're unfaithful in one thing, you'll be unfaithful in anything. Someone who is unfaithful in a few things will be unfaithful in everything. James said this, draw nigh to God, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. He went on to say, you double-minded. We're in our text this morning, 2 Peter, which is our reading today. If you'll go ahead and turn to 2 Peter in chapter 3 is where we'll be. 2 Peter in chapter 3. And once you get there, guys, if you're willing and able to this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand as we honor the reading of our scriptures today. We're going to read verses 10 through 18. And I hope you're not depending on the screen this morning with our glorious sunshine coming through. It tends to fade out a little bit of our screen. That's fine. I'll take the sunshine any day over having the screen. Amen. Even though it's a bit cold, I'll take the sunshine. 2 Peter chapter 3, looking with me in verse 10. The Bible says, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens, and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also, watch this, the other scriptures, under their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray you bless your message this morning. Bless the words, dear God, to the hearers' ears today. Touch our lives. Make a difference in our days, Father. We love you. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you so much for standing. Please be seated if you will. Again, beloved, as we ended last week, we ended with the reality that in the believer's life, there needs to be positive changes toward integrity, which must be done through a mindset of initiative, taking that power to do something before somebody else does it, amen. All behavior that we have in this world today, all behavior, I'll repeat myself, is learned. The behavior that you have in your life today, guys, you were not born with that. You learned your behavior one way, shape, form, or fashion. You learned it from your home, your community, your country, the television, the radio, all of those things combined, whatever it may be. All behavior is learned in human beings. And therefore, if it is learned, it can be changed. Actions and habits can be changed. I get tired of hearing people say that, well, you know, preacher, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. We're not dogs, amen. All right, a dog and a cat and all these different animals out there, they have instincts. And you know how we know they have instincts? Because they naturally do something within moments of their life, having never been shown that before. Yet us, we have to learn. In studies where children have been taken and put captive and placed and locked in basements, they lacked just the basic needs, the basic learning capabilities of some of them, even how to walk, how to feed themselves, even how to clean themselves or how to communicate with someone. We do not have instincts. It's what separates us from the animal. This is why the evolution crowd wants to make you think that you're an animal, guys. That we instinctively are doing things that is implanted inside of us. We are not animals. We are human beings. We are human beings created in the image of God. Amen. And therefore we have a soul that will live in eternity somewhere. Please don't ever be fooled to think that you're an animal, something that will, when it dies, it goes to nothing. There's a great struggle in changing habits, changing actions, and it's true, but it is possible. Beloved, it requires effort, just like anything worth doing in this world today. And sometimes it requires loads of effort, of which naturally people in our society, especially today, tend to avoid when possible. But of which, because people tend to avoid those things that are difficult, it makes it even more strenuous. It makes it even more difficult, if you will, to change in your life, because we have a natural desire, if you will, to avoid things that are harsh. But I will tell you this, people will change for one of three reasons. People will change when they honestly want to change. Well, preacher, I'm trying. You're not trying, you know, or try hard. Amen. If you honestly want to change a habit in your life, you'll do it. Let's just be honest with it. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, that means if you're not changing that habit, you really don't want to. Amen. Number two, people will change when they really need to change. Amen. When they really need to change. I was listening to a guy yesterday on one of the social media outlets, and he's a particular guy. He's a veteran, and he's what you, I guess you call influencers today. And I'm really not big on influencers personally, but because I think they self-proclaim influencers, they buy followers and whatever it is. I think social media, 99.9% of social media is nothing but a farce. I believe it's just a smoke screen. It's nothing more than a veneer. It ain't real, amen. I was going to go and say that here this morning. But this particular individual was given a report that the state of California has moved the time for school. They've moved the time down lower because children felt as if they were having to get up too early in the morning to go to school. And of course, he had a rant on this thing, and I don't know what particular time too early is. Where I grew up and when I went to middle school, our middle school, we started later than the high school did in the elementary school because of the bus routes. You had the same bus drivers that were driving some of the younger high school kids to school, and that school started at 7:20 in the morning, and we didn't start till like 9:15, and it was solely to get because you had the same bus routes that were running. So those bus drivers dropped the high schoolers off, and then he or she would go and make their bus route for the middle schoolers and take them to school, and that's what they would do throughout the day. It was running those routes, and that was the only reason that it was. That's why the times were different. I can remember getting up in the morning and eyes barely open. My mom would have my food in there, a nice warm breakfast and ready to go to school. And I'd go get in my car at 6-something in the morning. And believe it or not, even growing up in Southwest Florida, there was a few times that it was cold. I mean, it was cold in the morning time. I mean, it was almost down to 30 degrees, guys. That's how cold it was, you know. That was what I grew up with wintertime. Sometimes I actually had to put on a long sleeve shirt. You know, it was amazing. The coldness that we suffered driving to school. Anyway, jokes aside, I mean, I remember how tired I was. And you know what the answer was for that? Go to bed earlier. Common sense. I remember getting out of college, and once I graduated school and got a job, and I remember having to get up, watch this, every single day for work at a particular time so I could be there when, guess what, work started. Do you know what I couldn't do? I couldn't get on the phone and say, hey, Steve, listen, man, I'm just, you know what, Steve, I just don't know that I can make it in at work this morning by 7 o'clock, and that's just too early for me to be in the office. Why don't we just make our work hours 10 o'clock, you know, in the morning, that way I can sleep in a little bit longer. What would have happened to me if I'd have made that phone call to my boss? You're fired. And he said, you know what, that's fine, don't worry about coming in. Matter of fact, don't come in at all. Amen. So I don't understand what we're teaching children today by saying, well, let's, you know, all they're going to do is just go out and act foolish. And they're not going to sleep anymore at nighttime. They're just going to sleep in the morning time. But I will tell you this, guys, when they get out into the real world, one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to continue their lazy, sluggard ways, and they're going to become a burden on you, the taxpayers, and on us, the taxpayers, and then we're going to provide for them to sit in their basement and play video games is what's going to happen. Or they're going to change. People will change when they really need to or honestly want to. Point number three, people will change their life when they truly have to. When they truly have to. Guys, you'll make a change in your life when you have to. Quite often, many times, people will eat whatever they want to, when they want to, how they want to, and then all of a sudden they have a visit to the doctor. They find that their cholesterol has skyrocketed. They find they have hardening of the artery. They find that trouble's going on, and guess what happens? They go home and they're saying, hey, look, I got to change my diet. Whereas you could have done that years and years and years before. Beloved, can I say this to you this morning by way of introduction still? The reality to remain in the state that you always have been, listen carefully, to remain in the state that you always have been is unacceptable in the eyes of God. I don't care how young you are. It doesn't matter how old we are. Notice I said we. Amen. It doesn't matter. To remain how you always have been is unacceptable in the eyes of God. Look in verse 18 of our text here this morning. By inspiration of the Holy Spirit, directly from heaven himself, Peter pens these words, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. He says, but grow. Now, may I ask you this morning, is he only talking to the young bucks? No. Is he only talking to the new Christian? Somebody gets saved at 60 years old, and yeah, they may be older physically, but is he only saying, hey, listen, you just got saved, so you need to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior? Negative. I had a man in my church in Tennessee tell me one time as he walked out the door, he said, if you ain't growing, you're dying. And I thought that was quite profound coming from an old country bumpkin, if you will. Guys, there's a need. There are needs to make positive changes in the believer's life toward integrity through the mindset of initiative. You're not going to have integrity in your life. You're not going to make these changes to have integrity in your life without having the mindset of initiative, because you're going to have to take it by your own power in your own life. You're going to have to live. You're going to have to take it by your own power before someone else does. You're going to have to take ability of that. So what's the million-pound question this morning? What needs to change in our lives in order to have integrity through the mindset of initiative? Well, the answer is twofold, actually. And I want to address the what this morning. And in 2 weeks' time, I'm going to address the how, and then we're going to close the chapter on this series altogether. But the answer to these questions, which gives us a God-pleasing life, they're not a result by outward changes, but they're a result by inward changes, which results in outward actions changing. And it occurs on the front line of what I call the battlefield. Beloved, before any action, word, or deed, there's a process of thought. Some incredibly less than others, but nevertheless, before you take action, before you say a word, before you do a deed, there's a process of thought that occurs. Every synapse in your brain begins to fire. There's a process of thought, and you either say, this is a good idea, and you do it, or you say, "Yeah, this is a bad idea," and you either still do it or you don't do it at all. Thoughts form actions, be it words, expressions, or activities. Thoughts form actions, which in turn develop into a habit, which therefore becomes a lifestyle. And my friend, your lifestyle is what you are known by in this world. Whether we like that or not, Your lifestyle is what you're known to be. Proverbs tells us in 20 verse 1, even a child is known by his doings, whether his works be pure or whether it be right. So the first what in the battle today, the first what in making these changes, the first what that we need to address today to have the mindset of initiative and develop integrity in our life today is the battle of the mind. The battle of the mind. Beloved, the Bible says in verse 18, again, we've already read this, but growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Guys, our mind must change. Our thought life of the old must be altered and changed to the glory of God. Peter mentions in verses 15 through 16, he says, an account of the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul. Also according to the wisdom given unto, read this with me, unto him hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. Now watch this. In which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, as they do also, or they rest, unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures under their own destruction. Now verse 17 is clear. Ye therefore. Now, Peter speaks of those that are wrestling with the Scriptures. And those that wrestle with the Scriptures are unstable and unlearned. That's what he clearly said. If you struggle with doing the things that Paul is speaking of which we're going to see several examples in a moment. If you struggle with those things, then you're unlearned and you're unstable. The Bible says an unstable man's a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But it doesn't say just those Scriptures by Paul. It says all the Scriptures. Oh, they wrestle with John 3:16. They wrestle with John 3:3 and John 3:5. They wrestle with Proverbs 20, verse 6. They wrestle with every scripture that there is. You know why? Because they don't want to change their ways. They've lost the battle of the mind. Verse 17 says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before. I'll repeat that. You know these things before. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Peter speaks of Paul here in his letters that much of what he says and much of what he would write is hard to understand. It's difficult to accept. And then I'll ask you this question. What do you think? You guys have heard enough about Paul from my preaching and teaching over the past 5 years. What do you think was so difficult for people to understand? One of them would be the answer of making positive changes in our mind. One of those would be taking the initiative to do something and have integrity in your life. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Beloved, if you do not renew your mind, you're not going to be transformed into the image of Christ in this world. And I'm not saying you're going to be a savior. But if you cannot become a living sacrifice for our Lord, you won't be able to do that without having first a renewed mind. Changing the way you think. Paul also said in Ephesians chapter 4, he said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, he said. Now Peter is saying, man, there's some things that Brother Paul has written that, boy, I tell you, there's some things hard to be understood. But he says those that are unlearned and unstable, they wrestle with these things. What are they wrestling with? Renewing of their mind. Changing their ways. Changing their actions. Changes the way they think. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen? Paul said in Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Here ends the greatest struggle in our life. And yet it's the greatest victory in the life of the believer. The battle of the mind. Having this mind. Jesus Christ. And you know the context of Philippians 1. We were teaching on that on Wednesday morning. You know the context that he was saying. He was saying he was talking about how Jesus Christ became a servant. He had a mindset of becoming a servant. He washed his disciples' feet. He had no problem with doing it. And Paul says, let the same mind be in you. The Apostle Paul commands us through the Word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, casting down imaginations. I told you last week what an imagination is. Imagination is the creation of images in your mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Guys, now notice with me here in 2 Peter 3. Even though Peter said that Paul's epistles are hard to understand, remember what he said in verse 17. He says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. Read it with you again. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. It shouldn't be a shock, Peter's saying. Peter says, you know these things already. The things that Paul is writing, you already know about them. Essentially, he's saying, guys, you're without excuse because this group over here, it may be hard for them to understand. This group over here, they're unlearned and they're unstable and they're wrestling with the scriptures and they're arguing back and forth. And this one wants to know what the Greek says and this one the Hebrew says. And this one's reading out of that version and this one's reading some kind of man's writing. And they're going back and forth. They're just wrestling with the Word of God. Peter said, that's not you. You took the Word of God by faith. You believe it to be inerrant, perfect, pure, purified, preserved, and it is. He says you're without excuse. To pull the card that Paul's epistles are just too difficult to understand in this world, it's without merit. Paul is correct in his words, his letters, his epistles, because they're given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. May I say this statement and I'll go on to point number two. If you find fault with what was written and or said from Paul, you're finding fault in the Lord God Almighty. And my friend, that's a very dangerous ground to be upon. We must take hold of the mindset of initiative toward integrity to make positive changes in our mind, which leads us, secondly, to make positive changes In our motives. Do you believe that motives matter? Why you're doing something? I believe they do. Again, Peter says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Verse 18. When we begin to recognize that the battle is in the mind and it's there where we are to take the initiative to have integrity to make these positive changes first in our life, the attention now is placed upon our motive. Why are we doing what we're doing? What are the intentions of our heart in the life that we are now living? And why do we need to address them? Positive change occurs when our mind is renewed. When integrity is present and our motives are reclaimed. Listen, let me say that to you again. Positive change occurs when our mind is renewed. When integrity is present, our motives are reclaimed. And the Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, this is Pastor Ellis' favorite verse. He said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divided asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Beloved, it is the scripture that will separate our thoughts and intentions. Why are you choosing a certain position? What is its ultimate purpose? Where is my place in such a choice? Those actions and those thoughts of our heart, the Word of God will divide. Beloved, can I say this to you here this morning? I'm not long on this point. But if you are still the same person you were prior to salvation, if you are still trying to fool people to make them think you are something you are not, you've made no changes. You've taken no initiative. And integrity has evaded your presence. There must be change in our life. There must be change in our mind which changes our motives. It may seem a bit excessive to you this morning, but these are the things which affect our days. These are the areas which mold how we reflect Jesus Christ in and to the world that we live in. And it starts with the mind. It's rooted in our motives. And lastly, it results in our manners. It results in our manners. Look in verses 17 and 18 with me once more, one more time this morning. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfast. Notice he didn't say you're going to lose your salvation. But you're going to fall from your steadfastness. Then he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a simple equation, beloved. It's a simple equation of the utmost importance. Our mind develops our motives which equal our manners. Making positive changes in our manners only will not last. You can't just change your actions and hope that it's going to remain that way. Trying to change our motives without addressing our mind will never work. The end result of positive change in the Christian life is the manners that we exhibit. Manners are always the third. Mind will always come first. Motives will always come second. Peter said, but as he which have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That conversation, that word means conduct, how we conduct ourselves and live. He also said, Peter did, in 1 Peter 2, he said, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Beloved, we live in a crazy world, don't we? We live in a world today that seemingly Christianity is under attack from all sides. Matter of fact, even from within. We live in a world today that someone finds out you're a Christian, they come out and they come against you for a multitude of things. But buddy, you can be any one of these pagan religions out there and they don't even look at the roots of what they do and how they treat people and women and other people's belief and other people's choices in life. Last time I checked, Christianity brought liberty in this world. Last time I checked, Christianity wasn't chucking people off that disagreed with them off a bridge and hanging them, cutting their head off. No, that's another false religion. I know it's getting a little bit tense this morning. I understand that. But it all boils down to what we're talking about today. Initiative. Integrity. You say, preacher, do you believe that any of those other religions have integrity? Not a drop. Not a lick. Because they're all based upon power. They're all based upon who can control who. And that's not what Christianity is based upon. Christianity is the only one that has its God who came and lost his life for his people. Every other religion on the face of this planet today requires its subjects to sacrifice their life. Bunch of pagans. So at the end of the day, we must address ourselves, not our neighbors. At the end of the day, we got to address what we do, say, think, and how we act. Do you want positive change in your life today? Do you want to be a wet blanket in the middle of revival fires? Is that what you want? Do you want to be the one who is always searching for a reason for something not to work? It's a mind issue. And there must be change in the way we think and understand with God. And understand with God all things are possible. And we also need to understand that a no is not necessarily a rejection, but maybe just a redirection. Sometimes we try to put on the mind of Christ and we want to change our mind and we pray and we're working, we're doing what we can to develop that mind and we pray for something and God says no. And we say, well, it's all useless now. And it's not. No's are just redirections sometimes, not rejections. Now is the time to look within ourselves, guys, with a true and honest assessment as to what positive changes need to occur in our mind, in our motives, and in our manners. And you know what? When we do that, when we look within ourselves and we assess our mind, we assess where our motives are and where our manners may fall, then we need to do it. Then we need to make the changes. That's the what, guys. That's the what to the Christian mindset of initiative. That's the what of having the Christian mindset of initiative. It's all about integrity. And it is the Christian mindset of initiative in having integrity that's going to enable you to change your mind, adjust your motives, and have manners glorifying to God. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for being with us today. I thank you for the blessing that you have given us. And I pray today, Lord, that if you will, guide us throughout the rest of this day. Father, I pray that the words said today were clear enough, they were understanding enough for every one of us, no matter who we may be, to make these changes in our life to glorify you. Heavenly Lord, I do love you. I do thank you for what you've done and who and what you are. I pray now for your continual direction, your guidance, your grace, and your mercy. And ask you now to please guide us throughout the rest of this day. Father, you know where we are. You know our needs. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Hope and pray that preaching and teaching of God's word.